Listen now for the word of God. This is a scripture reading that is a part of a much longer passage in the Bible that we know as the Sermon on the Plain. And it begins with a familiar passage called the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the... So even if you don't know very much about the Bible, you may have heard of the Beatitudes. And this scripture that we're hearing today comes as kind of the middle of that little sermon from Jesus. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or about your body and what you will wear. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. May God bless our understanding of the good news. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So according to the calendar of retail, Christmas is here. Have you noticed that? I'm actually not one of those people who hates Christmas coming early. I know a lot of people do, but I like to kind of sing along to the songs when they come up, and I like the sparkly decorations. As Christians, we have a way to prepare and rejoice in the season that for so many in the secular world is a season of overconsumption and worry. This is Advent, and it begins next Sunday. The first Sunday of Advent is next week. So this year I have an idea. I'd like to propose that we take Thanksgiving under our wing as Christians and just add it to Advent. It would just be like a few extra days. And I can't think of a better way to turn around the time that so often begins with frantic errands and extended preparations, and so often ends with dashed expectations and spiraling depression, than with truly expressing gratitude. It's almost as if the opposite of worry or fear is not peace. It's almost as if the opposite of worry is gratitude. Have you noticed how hard it is to worry when you feel grateful? Scientists are finding out more and more what we people of faith have always known, that gratitude is not just a nice idea or a platitude. It's actually good for your health. So what if instead of beginning this season, the season of Advent, with frantic list-making and even more frantic errand-running, what if we consciously, thoughtfully, seriously, but also with a deep joy, begin by noting what we are thankful for? In my experience, people who are grateful live more fully and die more easily. People who are grateful do not worry or feel fear. How not to worry when everything in our culture tells us that we should do? Consider, says Jesus, the birds of the air. Consider is a very interesting word choice here, in my opinion. Consider, is more than a passing glance. It involves deep study, knowing. Consideration takes all your attention, all your brain power. You cannot consider and still be worried about guest lists or wrapping paper or eggnog ingredients. Put in its simplest terms, as a child in wartime once wrote, think of all the beauty still around you and be happy. Consideration leads to deep understanding, recognition of what is important, and dare I say, gratitude. Consider the gifts of creation, the sights and sounds of the birds of the air and the wild flowers of the field. Have you experienced the deep peace that comes by perceiving in creation the hand of God's care and providence? Have you, in considering the birds and lilies, experienced such deep rest that you emerge from your contemplation fully aware of God's care? Consider also these words of Jesus. Isn't life more than food? Aren't our bodies more than clothing? Or put another way, in the light of the Thanksgiving feast which is to come, isn't family more than making sure the gravy boat matches the salt and pepper shakers? Isn't it more than wishing that Cousin Johnny would finally cut his hair so he would look nicer in the pictures? Isn't it more than the right recipe for cranberry relish? Consider this instead. Trust, laughter. Food eaten around an imperfectly set table where all are welcome. Sink into this new kind of rest, one that is based on gratitude for what you do have rather than for what is not just right. Think of the beauty left around you still and be happy, a child writes. And she's right, you know. If you think about what you still have to be grateful for instead of all that you would hope for, you will be happy. Consideration of how much we have received encourages gratitude to overflow into love and compassion for those in our families who just will not make the perfect picture for us, for our neighbors and those in our churches whose differing opinions irritate or even enrage us, and for those around the globe, their belongings in satchels on their backs, walking in long lines, trying to find a place to call home. Consideration of these children of God may lead us to compassion for those who have filled us with fear. Because we are afraid, aren't we? Afraid of the violence of terrorists, perhaps afraid even more of the pictures of those weary, beautiful, big-eyed children fleeing terror. They have already and are going to continue to tear at our heartstrings and call into question everything we know about ourselves as Christians, as Americans, as moral and loving individuals. We are afraid of being hurt. Yes, we are afraid of violence. But I think the truth is we are even more afraid of having to step up, to live fully and completely into the ideals we say we hold most dear: freedom, justice, and peace. Nothing, friends, is quite the enemy of fear like consideration. Consider the lilies and the birds, and the children who have no place to call home. Because once we consider, truly focus and pay attention, we remember what we already know, that God's love and care and providence and grace is all around us all the time. Think of the beauty still left around you and be happy, wrote a child in wartime. Consideration of beauty does not make us weak or uninformed or willfully ignorant. La, 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 beauty, beauty, beauty. It means We've carefully considered what God has created and thereby remembered what we already knew. And yet we so easily seem to forget that God's providence is abundantly available not only to us, but through us. As the national conversation on the admittance or not of refugees fleeing terror in Syria has heated up, we are offered an opportunity for knee-jerk fear or for deep consideration of our faith, of our values, of our history as a nation of settlers, immigrants, and refugees. It's been a question. Since the first Europeans landed on this soil more than 300 years ago, who else will be allowed now and under what circumstances? It was a question then. It was a question for those in the overcrowded cities of the early 1900s who contemplated the validity of the Irish. It was a question during World War II. Do we act from fear and scarcity, or do we remember the providence of God that comes not only to us, friends, but through us? Do we, as the child wrote, think of all the beauty still left around us and be happy? The child who wrote those words, by the way, a young woman whose journal was trampled and left behind by the soldiers who captured her and killed her and her family, was Anne Frank. Think of all the beauty still around you, she wrote from her hiding place, and be happy. Anne Frank's own family was denied access to the necessary papers that would have allowed them to come to the United States. According to recently released documents, Anne Frank's father sought money in order to secure a visa to the U.S. in the late 1930s. The visa request was ultimately denied, and Otto Frank and his family, including Anne, went into hiding. And we know how that story ends. In those days, public opinion of the Jewish population here in the States was extremely low. And we were already stretched thin due to economic depression. Is this sounding familiar to you? As such, Americans heavily favored denying Jewish refugees. One poll from the Harvard Crimson in 1938 showed that as many as 7 in 10 Americans would have closed our borders to those men and women and children. And one of those children was Anne Frank, who wrote at age 14, "Think of all the beauty still around you and be happy." We can only imagine what her life might have been like, what opportunities she might have had, what further gifts of her words might have given us. We can only imagine, because as a nation, we did not take a moment, as Jesus advised, to consider. We did not look around at all the abundance and freedom we have been given and desire that abundance and freedom for all people. Instead, we responded with fear about what might be taken away from us, security, resources, culture. What would it be like to respond instead with gratitude for what we have already received and indeed for what we might still receive? Consider the birds and the lilies and the words of a girl on the edge of womanhood, robbed of her life by war, and the faces of the children that we love, and the faces of the children who have no place to sleep tonight. And then let that consideration flow into understanding, and that understanding flow into gratitude, and that gratitude flow into love that flows out and out and out. Amen.